Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
When you get a letter from the state of New York, it's probably not a good sign. Good morning, I'm Mario Murillo, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Thousands of New Yorkers ripped open a note from Albany over the weekend that began, "Dear New York State Employee." The one-page letter outlined the governor's plan to lay off 8,700 state workers by July 1st. Moreover, the letter explicitly called out one group in particular for prompting this decision. The governor wrote, quote, "Last November, I asked our state's public employee unions to make modest concessions. I did not make this request lightly. Regrettably, however, our state's public employee unions refused to consider any concessions at all." And, of course, he went on to say, as a result, he had to make a seriously painful decision, one of the worst in terms of the fiscal crisis facing the state. And the governor isn't the only one getting in the union blame game. Mayor Bloomberg is threatening to lay off up to 7,000 city employees, and the mayor's office sent a letter of its own last week explaining that unions were not cooperating and helping to find ways to trim the fat. Suffice it to say that the unions have not taken kindly to that characterization, and, of course, the battle is on. Liz Benjamin of the Daily News is here to bring us the details. Liz, welcome back to WNYC. It's good to have you.
It's good to be here.
So, first of all, they're pointing the fingers at the unions, but it's getting pretty ugly. What was the offer specifically from the governor to the state employees that has them pretty ticked off at this point?
Well, originally the governor proposed in his budget a number of things, but the thing that has people most upset is a reopening of the union contracts that were already negotiated and signed, inked, closed, et cetera. That would be a give back of a 3% raise.
Mm-hmm. So he's getting heat for that, but the mayor, meanwhile, the mayor is also getting heat, but it seems like the governor's in the Daily News today, for example, is getting a lot more of the blame.
Well, the difference is that the governor originally proposed some concessions, along also with the creation of Tier 5 in the pension system, which is something that the mayor has also endorsed. But the governor proposed these changes part and parcel of the budget and then subsequently did not include them in the budget deal that was struck with the legislative leaders and is now seeking in a post-budget effort to make those things happen. The difference, of course, is that the mayor is doing both things at the same time. He hasn't actually closed his budget yet. So mm-hmm. that's the difference. And I think that the governor's coming under a lot of fire for that. When he had some leverage, he didn't use it.
Yeah, he's targeting the unions and blaming the unions, but the unions are not being really kind to the governor at all. I mean, the union president of the Civil Service Employees Union, President Danny Donahue, He actually said that perhaps Patterson was on bad drugs or needed a psychiatrist. So this is a pretty harsh language.
Yeah. You have, of course, seen these kind of really heated rhetoric battles before. I mean, it's really not all that surprising. That statement is very strong, obviously, and the governor's people reacted by asking for an apology. And to my knowledge, they haven't gotten one yet. They probably won't anytime soon if things continue going the way they are. But, you know, the unions have never reopened their contracts. It's not something that they've done. They have done other things that, of course, would hurt members who are not necessarily there yet. That's how other pension tiers were created in the past. Or perhaps a pay lag has been floated, and that's been hotly debated as to whether it's actually a good idea or not. But some of this is just sort of your normal posturing. This is what happens when unions and management clash.
Mm-hmm. But is it fair to target the unions? They seem to be the easy target here, at least from the standpoint of the governor. Some of the language that he put in his letter out to the employees that are getting the pink slip.
Well, you're seeing, I mean, there's a bunch of different things that you're seeing, actually. In both cases of the state and the city, you're seeing the unions say it would behoove the management, which would be obviously the administrations, to stop going to outside consultants and have state workers do jobs that consultants who tend to cost the taxpayers more should no longer do those jobs, right? That's been floated for years now, actually, a problem that public employee unions have made for a long time. So that's one possibility. But, you know, I think that the taxpayers particularly look at people who aren't employee, state employees or public employees in the city, look at the benefits and the perks and see that as quite generous, so particularly at a time when health care is being slashed in the private sector and people being laid off. And it's difficult for sort of the public to swallow, right? So they are an easy target. Mm-hmm. That said, you know, you're really threatening people's jobs and their lives, which scares people to death, obviously. And it's a really serious game that's getting played.
We're speaking with Liz Benjamin of the Daily News. Now, here in the city specifically, the mayor, as I understand it, he's proposing 0.5 or less than 1%, 0.5% of cuts in the uniform departments, for example, the police, fire, sanitation, and correction. I guess an indication that he wants to demonstrate that he's not cutting back too much, at least from his standpoint, on city services and essential public safety and things like that. How is this being received by some of the other municipal workers in the city?
Well, you know, the mayor is running for re-election this year, so he's in a different place than the governor, of course. The governor is going to have to defend the position to which he was not elected but ascended. He's going to have to do that in 2010, and he's under fire since he has these incredibly low poll numbers. The mayor actually enjoys pretty healthy poll numbers, although they have dropped not considerably, but steadily over the last several months, in part because of unhappiness and the slashing of services and cuts, et cetera. You did have Norman Seabrook on Friday, I believe, get on New York One and say he thought the mayor was crazy for wanting to lay off or threatening to cut 7,000 positions. So you're seeing a heated rhetoric on both sides of the equation. It's certainly not it's not limited to Governor Patterson and the state worker unions.
Mm-hmm. But is it fair to say that Patterson is taking a lot more heat in this state?
He is. Certainly he is. And in some ways, I mean, you know, he's lower in terms of poll numbers. He's easier target to kick. The mayor is just a little bit more difficult to attack for a number of reasons, but also because he's going about it in a different way.
Well, the New York Daily News, your newspaper today, had a pretty strong editorial calling let me just reading from it. It says, the outrageous fact is that Governor Patterson, Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, and Senate Majority Leader Malcolm Smith have cut Bloomberg off at the knees in this crucial battle with the unions. Patterson called for pension and health reforms, as you discussed, but then he joined Silver and Smith in passing a budget that raised spending by $10 billion. So they're almost coming to the defense of the mayor in this one.
Right, right. Well, actually, the governor has argued, and I'm not going to say one way or another if there are some people who believe it and some people who don't, but the governor has argued that the increase in spending is largely due to an influx of federal stimulus aid that's coming into the state that has to be spent. He argues that he couldn't hold on to it, and so therefore he has to go out and spend it. The flip side to that is, of course, that he could have cut significantly at a time when there is a economic downturn. That is the time when you can make an argument for cutting, and people will generally buy it, but instead raise taxes on the wealthy to close a budget deficit, a very significant budget deficit.
Mm-hmm. Now, we just got a call from a listener who asked, why aren't we talking about cutting the governor's salary and benefits? Apparently, the governor makes about $179,000 a year, but he did propose taking a 10% reduction, didn't he?
Didn't
or was that just a political
it.
Stunt?
Yeah, he did. Well, I mean, one might argue that he did intend to score political points, and perhaps he did. He did, in fact, say he would take a cut. That actually took a lot of people by surprise. He said it on the radio. He has this habit of sort of saying off-the-cuff things during radio interviews and then subsequently getting called on them. He does a lot of radio. And he did, in fact, write a check for, I believe, something in the neighborhood of $18,000 and did take that cut and said it was symbolic and thought that other people should do the same.
Mm-hmm. But that is a symbolic cut. I mean, I think sometimes we're kind of barking up the wrong tree when we're saying that elected officials are the ones who necessarily should take the cut. Isn't it fair to say that?
Well, I mean, I'm not so sure. $18,000 is really a drop in the bucket when you're talking about a $131 billion budget.
Right.
I mean, in terms of spreading the pain, you could make an argument that elected officials should make some kind of effort at trying to demonstrate that they indeed are also part of the pain. But, you know, I mean, the mayor, for example, is the richest man in New York City. He only makes a salary of $1.
Right. Well, we're talking with, again, we're speaking with Liz Benjamin of the Daily News, and if you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. Give us a call if you have any concerns. Perhaps you're one of those people who received that letter this weekend and are concerned about your future here in New York City. But obviously with the 30,000, you know, there's some workers who are making 25,000, 30,000 who are now going to be out of jobs, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and that's not a lot of money. I mean, not a lot of money in the city, not a lot of money upstate even, where the cost of living is considerably lower. But, you know, people are out of jobs all over the place, right? The private sector certainly has contracted just enormously significantly, and people are hurting all over the place. I think, again, that's why when the public looks at the fairly generous benefits and salaries package, even for people who make not a lot of money, get decent health care, decent benefits from public sector employees, that's something that's difficult for the private sector to swallow.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the plan of the governor's plan to furlough workers, particularly those, this is a quote from Michael Estrue, the National Commissioner for Social Security, who yesterday he expressed grave concern over the state's plan to furlough workers who administer with disability payments, saying that states generally do not save any money when they furlough or lay off these employees. This is another one of those bad ideas that it's not that's not going anywhere. Or what's your sense about that?
Well, I did see that quote, and I saw the story, and I saw subsequently that the governor's spokesman Peter Kaufman said that they were going to be taking, you know, that under consideration and doing everything they could to make sure. I think that the concern was that disability payments would be seeing a lag, and people who needed them very, very badly and needed the money would be have those payments delayed, and the administration has said that they'll be sensitive to that situation. But, you know, and similarly, California is in a similar situation as well, and New Jersey, I believe, is the third state. But look, everything's on the table. I think the administration has made that clear. Right now, to some extent, they're playing a little bit of a game of political chicken, and a lot depends on who blinks first, but we'll see. I mean, only time is going to tell about how serious everybody is.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of public opinion polls, I wonder if that's going to be a factor in who blinks first, considering that Governor Patterson has not looked at it too favorably. I think, according to the latest Quinnipiac University poll, they found 65% of New Yorkers feel that Patterson and the legislature ultimately lack the political courage to make tough decisions, and they found kind of a 60 to 28% margin in total job disapproval of Patterson. I guess his things aren't looking so good for him on a level, public opinion level.
No, not fantastic. No, they are not. I think that the governor has said that that what happens to him is, quote, immaterial. He said that last week, I believe. He has insisted that his own future is sort of secondary to the future of the state, and that kind of tough talk is something that I think that people approved of when he first came onto the job and in the summer raised the possibility or the red flag, if you will, about the fiscal crisis coming down the pike. He did that very early, went on TV in a kind of unprecedented address to the state to warn people about what was happening. And he received high marks in public opinion polls then. The problem is that subsequently a number of sort of not well-handled decisions, including the filling of Hillary Clinton's seat and the Caroline Kennedy mess that followed, that really tanked him. And then the budget handling, which was done largely in secret, the negotiations, he really took a beating for that. And we'll see how quickly he manages to turn things around. I think Democrats in particular all over the state are quite concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, the mayor isn't taking the same kind of hits at the polls. I mean, he's already actually targeting now the Working Families Party to get on the ballot with under the Working Families Party. That's pretty audacious on the part of the mayor, going after a party that its base is in the unions.
Correct. Well, and it's a very interesting dichotomy that the mayor is putting himself in at this point. I mean, first of all, the Working Families Party led the charge against the term limits extension and obviously was unsuccessful at that. And the mayor was very outspoken in his opposition to the Working Families Party, the Working Families Party's top legislative priority in Albany, which was called fair share tax reform, but which they won part of in so much as they saw a temporary increase on the wealthy to sort of share the pain, if you will. But that's going to be sunsetting. So what they really wanted was a full restructuring of the tax code in New York, which has not happened. Right. So It is an interesting situation that the mayor finds himself in, on the one hand saying that he's threatening to cut 7,000 jobs, and on the other hand having people from his campaign, you know, wooing labor union leaders and wanting their support and getting it in some cases.
Yeah, only a person like Bloomberg seems like might be able to pull that one
off.
Well,
his money, you know, really sort of inoculates him from a lot of different things.
Right. We're speaking with Liz Benjamin of the Daily News. Bill is joining us from Brooklyn. Bill, you have a question?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I was listening, and, you know, we're talking about $131 billion for the budget and all of that. Is there some absolute number that is appropriate for society and an economy of our size? It seems like we're always talking about the spending going up or the cuts coming here or whatever, but it doesn't seem like anyone has just a theoretical or formulaic way of saying, this is how much it costs to run what we want to run, and we can afford it or we can't. If we can't, I mean, Haiti can't, maybe Belgium can't, maybe we can, maybe we can't. We're more wealthy than some states, less wealthy than other states. What's the right number, and why can't we live within our means?
Thank you, Bill, for that call. And Liz, and it's hard to tell, especially when they keep saying that things are going to get worse before they get any better.
Right, although the mayor said recently that he was optimistic that we were coming near the bottom of this economic crisis. It's interesting, but legislative leaders and the mayor, executives, et cetera, are always tell you that budgeting is sort of an art more than a science, and that the budget is always changing. And depending on how much revenue is coming in, that is basically what the state can spend, although they then subsequently borrow a lot for different things like capital projects. I don't have an answer for this gentleman, unfortunately. I don't know what the appropriate amount is for the state to spend. I do know that the state spends the bulk of what it spends on education and Medicaid, and there's been considerable arguments about whether or not those dollars should be reallocated, whether they are well spent, whether we spend too much in certain areas, and that's pretty much what the crux of the budget battle is every year.
Right, absolutely. Well, Liz Benjamin, I want to thank you for joining us this morning, shedding some light on this mess, but we'll direct people to your Daily Politics blog, which is linked to our website, WNYC.org. Thanks so much, Liz Benjamin.
Thanks for having me.
And coming up, we're going to stay with the city politics, taking an insider's look at a week at the city council. Don't go anywhere.